Welcome to Motivated to Lead podcast, helping you become a better leader. I'm your host, Mark Klingsheim. Hi, everyone. Thanks again for joining us for our podcast this week. My name is Mark Klingsheim with SEMA Partners. Each week, we interview leaders and they share lessons learned from their careers. Our goal is to help you become a better leader. This week, we're happy to have join us Rasheem McKinney. Rasheem is the Chief Innovation Officer and President of Gibraltar Solutions Development Company, an economic research and development firm based in Montgomery, Alabama. He is a veteran and former Air Force officer, was involved in the defense space education information technology programs. He has some great thoughts he's going to share around leadership and just some lessons that he has learned in his career. Looking forward to today's conversation with Rasheem. Bill DeMarco had introduced us, and he spoke highly of you as a leader, and definitely looking forward to our conversation. Can you give our audience just a little bit of your background and a little bit of your career story?
Absolutely. So first off, I'm a Montgomeryan, born in Montgomery, Alabama, and just experienced a lot of the history and culture that has happened there. From there, I went off to school at Tuskegee University. And did Air Force ROTC there. So it's heavily involved and engaged on the campus, and went into the Air Force, 21 years old, Los Angeles, California, first job, Air Force Space Command, which would eventually become Space Force, and started out in research and development for satellite systems, looking at next generation technology for our future space systems. And got a chance from there to work as a launch operations director, launched the first one of a first of its kind satellite, helped put the next two or three on contract to go into orbit. It was a fantastic ride. Came back to Montgomery, taught officer training school, one of the best jobs I've ever had, teaching leadership and development to the next group of folks that will be charged to lead in very demanding environments. And that was a responsibility that I didn't really understand until I got into that seat. And so from there, I did about 8 years active duty, started a company. I saw the trajectory of Montgomery and the community as a whole and where it was going. And I really wanted to be a part of it. So I got out, I started a company centered around economic development, research with a social economic development slant, innovation, and just how to really engage local communities with some of the things I had learned from the federal side.
So I like to ask this question of most every guest that we have on. If you were able to spin back time to, 22, when we all thought we knew everything, what do you wish you could tell a 22-year-old Rasheem?
Do things. Do more things. Try it out, take risk. It's a pretty generic advice, but really, really try things that you're afraid of. You're not gonna regret the things that you do. You'll more so regret the things that you don't do. Be vulnerable. Find people that you respect and just ask them what helped them to lead to their success. And be very vulnerable. And they expect you not to know much at 22. And we don't see that at the time, but it's such a grand opportunity to really get a lot of great advice.
So what, leaving the military, what are some lessons that you learned in the military you don't think you might have learned elsewhere as far as early on in your career?
People. Connectivity matters. It's all about people and relationships. If you can really help someone else out, get done what they want to get done and what they need to get done, you're just setting yourself up for alley hoop to get it back around. I read a great book, Everything I Really Needed to Know, I Learned in Kindergarten. And I really believe that. Just those things that you learn on day one in kindergarten, mutual respect, wait your turn, no hitting, things like that make such a huge difference. And the military forces us to work together in very close proximity to do a lot of novel and unconventional things. And those are the fundamentals of it, just people.
Is there any advice early on in your career that you received that you should have ignored or did ignore?
Yes. So when I moved to LA, and this is to the culture piece, I was told not to go south of the 405 or west of the 105. In every city that I've lived in, people have told me like the boundaries of where it was safe to be. And I'm so glad that I ignored it and I explored and I got a chance to see those spaces and places for myself, because I've had such a fun ride by just going to different places that some might deem dangerous, that some might deem, you know, uncouth. But that's where the culture lies. And it's our ability to get outside of the boxes that people place for us and to really see what's happening and put boots on the ground, with a reason, of course, but to really get out and explore.
So you've moved into the corporate side and helping being an innovator and entrepreneur. What are some lessons that you've learned in the last few years as you've done this this venture, and what do you wish you've done differently?
Nobody has it figured out. We're all yet figuring it out. Some of the brightest minds in the world fail at it every day. And they're pretty open and upfront about that. And I think that really needs to trickle down to the lay folks, that we don't have it figured out. Everything is a process, but confidence, consistency, the manner in which we attack things with regularity and just the mindset that we have while we're attacking them makes all the difference. Don't walk scared. It's okay to be scared, but walk confidently knowing that if you keep going, you're going to be much better off than you were not going. And that has been the most insightful piece in this innovation movements that I've been a part of. The best answers come from the people who hold them in the lowest regard. I mean, you know, maybe you see somebody raise their hand in the back of a room and kind of whisper something out, and it's profound, it's brilliant. And I would just like to see more confidence from people just in their own unique and idiosyncratic ability to deliver and to share and to give and to contribute, because that is where I see some of the greatest insights and some of the greatest advancements.
Talk a little bit about some of the influences on your life, some of the mentors that you've had. Were you pretty intentional as far as getting people that you surrounded yourself with, both in the military as well as on the corporate side?
Absolutely. My mother was very big on surrounding yourself with people who you respected and who were doing things that were the right things and were the things that were moving the needle. So the Air Force culture is really big on that. It's really big on mentorship. And I was very fortunate as a young second lieutenant to be mentored by a host of great people, but one of which I'd be remiss if I didn't highlight, General Sam Greaves. Ran the Missile Defense Agency, retired 3-star general, was a SMC commander at LA, was a vice commander at LA, Space Missile Center, just a legend in the space world. But he took the time to invite a young lieutenant up to his office, who showed up, by the way, the first time I met him an hour late for our meeting because I was caught at LA traffic. That wasn't fun. But he was a great mentor. And he told me exactly how it was. He shared the things that we needed to do. He didn't tell me how to do it, but he said, if you want to be on a certain level or a certain path, you need to do these things. And if you can achieve them in a different way, go for it. But you got to do these things. And just great. Whatever I ever had a question, whatever it was, he made the time. And he told me what a good mentor was. And he gave me good resources. And as we continue to find other ones, you know, he said very practical things like, you know, make sure the folks have time. You can't have a mentor if they don't have the time to interact with you. You know, make sure that they've demonstrated these things and have shown a certain level of success themselves. People can tell you how to do it, but if they've demonstrated how to do it, it's a little bit better. So things like that have carried through, and find the smartest folks in the room and go talk with them.
So you've led in both the military as well as on the corporate side. you've kind of started your venture for, was it from scratch that you're currently involved in?
That's right.
Talk about kind of how did you hire your first team? Talk a little bit about that for somebody that's maybe moving into that first leadership position.
Your first hire is the most important, in my opinion. The folks, if know your gap, know your superpowers, but know your kryptonite, and find somebody who can fill your kryptonite. And I personally believe that you want to have a good rapport with that person. You want somebody that you very naturally engage with, and someone that you very naturally communicate with, because communication at that stage is so important. You almost want somebody who can read your mind almost and can finish those sentences before you get them out. And that has been an important thing for me, starting from nothing. And don't be afraid to get people who think, you know, differently and who will challenge you. That's a mandatory thing on my list. If you don't have the confidence to kind of tell me when I'm missing it or when I'm wrong, I don't have really a whole lot of room for it, because I'm going to go hard charging at what I think is right. And if I don't have somebody that can hard charge and on the other side and say, hey, maybe not, Rasheem, I think that's maybe missing this. I think that's very critically important.
So you talked about one book that you recommended to leaders. And I remember I had forgotten about that book. I read that a long time ago and it had some great advice. Any other books that you would put on a young leader's list?
I'm looking over at my bookshelf that has my 20 books that I keep pretty handy. Mindset is a great book that I would highly recommend, because it starts with the mind. It's another great one. Passion and Purpose. I forget the author, but Passion and Purpose is a phenomenal book that I would highly recommend. Anything that we do, I think we're going to be much better at it if we take a passionate approach and we find purpose in it. We look at it vocationally as opposed to just occupationally. I think that's the secret weapon. When things get really tough, if you find some type of emotional connection, some type of inward connection to it, I think you're very much better off. And Passion and Purpose communicates that, I think, pretty succinctly in a text.
So what are some things that you've learned as you've started a new venture? What are things that you would have given yourself advice, you know, say 8 years ago when you were just starting out as far as in this new venture? What do you wish you would have known earlier?
Yes, I have I can talk about this for a while. So give yourself room and time and space for things not to go as you think they might. Things always change. More reserves. We tend to, as hard charging folks, we tend to have green light, rosy kind of outlooks, and that's great to be an optimist. But prepare, you know, give yourself a little extra runway. Another thing I'd say when starting new things, capital is so key, and having good capital partners is so important. You don't do new things alone. New things work well in community, and community is empowered by capital. So having a financial system that moves money quickly, and that you don't, a lot of times it's not that you don't have access to the funds, it's just that you don't have access to the funds at the right time. Timing is very critical in startups. So access and speed of money, and then you move at the speed of relationships and the speed of trust. So if you haven't done the work of relationship building and trust building, do that up front before you even start trying to bring something to pass, because those are the things that anchor and make whatever you're trying to get done. If I can pick up the phone and call and I can get that answer, or I can ask that question, I'm much more likely to be successful with that in place.
Great advice. So talk a little bit about your company, what you're doing in your community, and talk a little bit about that. And I think it sounds like you're doing some great things.
So we consider ourselves problem solvers. And the funny joke around my community is most people ask, like, Rasheen, what do you do? Like, we see you everywhere. We don't know what you do. Like, what do you do? And I say, well, I look at the world around me and I look at really challenging problems. Like my colleagues over in England, they say wicked problems. We look at wicked problems and we look at things like, and generally it has an economic lens to it. So when you think about the history of economics in the Deep South, it has definitely been a segmented set of economies that have operated for a long period of time. So in that, you see a tendency to go toward larger economic drivers like manufacturing, big industrial kind of things. But the small business sector has really been left behind in many of those spaces. Even from regard to like restaurants, you'll generally see more chains than you'll see like startup, like mom and pops, because it's just a cultural kind of landscape. So one of the big things that we've done, we've tried to tackle that problem in a number of ways. We started a campaign about 6 years or so ago just to introduce entrepreneurship as something that wasn't a four-letter word. When we started talking about entrepreneurship in the Deep South, people were like, oh my God, you want us to leave our government jobs and, you know, and our pensions to go out for these risky endeavors. So really familiarizing people and then starting education campaigns. We worked with local chambers and things of the sort to teach the fundamentals of entrepreneurship, and not from a textbook and academic standpoint, but from a very practical standpoint. And we introduced the Lean Canvas model, a lot of the technology advancements and best practices from technology startups. We brought those to everyday businesses. We introduced it to folks like artists, who we know artists and creativity drives markets and drives economic development and is a leading indicator of it. So we partnered with artists to teach that type of entrepreneurship training with artists as they were making their works. How could they create markets around it? So we're ecosystem builders. We look at the problem from a holistic standpoint and we develop strategy to solve it. And then we take the next step further. We implement that strategy and walk alongside partners, whether it's government and others, to bring about the end results that we want to see. So we really take an ethos of creating the change that we want. And we have a great time doing it, creating new markets all around the Deep South in places that ordinarily would not be doing those types of activities.
So outside of work, what do you do to recharge?
I don't know what that means. No.
Just working all the time.
No, work is fun. Work is so much fun. I get to do cool things like create like pop-up markets. And so it's fun. I mean, most of my, and when I got out of the Air Force, I said, if I decided to do this, I was going to do exactly what I wanted to do, exactly when and where I wanted to do it. And if it got to a point that I can do that and feed myself, I would go back into the system. Fortunately, I'm able to do that every day, exactly what I want. So it's all fun. I don't think I'm working a day in the life because it's literally all fun. I get to work with, you know, Air Force innovation. I get to work with universities and young people and technology advancements, and get to work with artists and activists. That's fun. And just talking to them is like, it's pretty cool. And occasionally they'll invite me along for some things that I may not have done before. So that's fun for me.
Yeah. Well, you're also a podcaster. You've got a podcast that you've started. How would somebody find out about that and tell a little bit how they would connect with you?
So our podcast is directly linked to a nonprofit that we recently started called Social Montgomery. Social Montgomery, that's also the name of the podcast. We get to do cool stuff like talking to like civil rights legends and folks that have made meaningful contributions to the community that are doing things that we really enjoy. We tell their stories. We're all about elevating and advancing exposure of just people who are doing phenomenal things that you just may not know about, like similar to yourself. So socialmontgomery.com. is a great way to check us out on that podcast and what we're doing and to kind of keep a look at some of the cool innovative things that we're highlighting and hoping to advance and elevate.
Well, Rashim, it's been a pleasure to talk with you today and wish you continued success in all you're doing. And definitely look forward to seeing how things unfold as you grow your entrepreneurial company and the organization there.
All right. Thanks so much for having me. It's been a blast.
Thank you for listening to the Motivated to Lead podcast. Please subscribe on iTunes. You can also see a video version of this interview at motivatedtolead.com. This podcast is brought to you by SEMA Partners, helping you find your next great leader.